text for our sermon this reading comes from the gospel reading, in particular, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If we are a disciple of Jesus in this life, we must first consider the lilies, as he says today. Let the lilies, and he also mentions the ravens, let the lilies and the birds be your teacher if you are a student of Jesus. He mentions flowers specifically today, and that's quite relatable for us because we use flowers for very important occasions. We send them in times of celebrations, weddings, graduations. My dad always bought corsages for my mom and sister on Christmas and Easter Sundays. Flowers, we're able to say, I love you from a distance. We also use them at a time of sadness. At funerals, we send them to say, we're sorry, we remember you and your time. Or when a husband wants to tell his wife he loves her, he sends her flowers. Flowers speak to us when words escape us. We don't know what to say or when we can't be somewhere in person. Today Jesus says, well, let them teach you today. Now it's not a stop and smell the roses sort of a lesson, but close. Today it is stop and consider the lilies, Jesus says. Now the lilies don't speak to us the word of God. Like the pagan religions of the earth that say, oh, go out into the wilderness and listen to God speak. No, Jesus isn't saying that. He isn't saying, put your ear to a tree. But he says the existence of lilies, that is a testimony to the trustworthiness of your heavenly Father. Listen to God's word, but then also consider the lilies. Because the Greek word is more than just consider. The Greek word that Jesus uses is, it's more visual. It's more in-depth. It's more like, consider the lilies up and down. Get to know them very closely and intimately. Spend time considering the lilies. Oh, it's one word. Jesus says to his disciples, examine the lilies up and down. So if you want to be a student of Jesus, we first must be students of the flowers, the lilies. Sometimes they're easy to miss, the wild flowers. We move from flowers that we buy in the store, that we care for and intend, to a lily, which is just a wild flower. They're sometimes easy to miss, but Jesus says these teach you quite a bit. Mostly, Jesus says the flowers shame us. The wild flowers, they do not toil or spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In Texas, we may stop and look at bluebonnets when they blossom. We take pictures of them. We pose with them. We can't even pick them. They're so special and there for our consideration, but rarely does anyone say, I'm building up my 401k so I can plant bluebonnet fields across Texas. And yet Jesus says the wildflowers are more glorious than the richest man in history, Solomon. Well, Jesus, what is it that makes them glorious? Why should we consider them so closely? Well, if you think it's their beautiful, vivid colors, or their random and wonderful patterns of design and intricate makeup, if you think it's the things that you can see, you're wrong. What is the glory that Jesus teaches us about? Well, it's that the wild flowers, the lilies, they're not worried about what they're wearing nor what they have. The lilies are content to receive from God. They do not cry how God has messed up their lives. They do not sit and fret about this world government or the next. They do not raise their fist at God and say how unfair life is. They don't sit and wish and hope and covet their neighbor's life. The lilies are content to receive from God and be beautiful. To serve us. To say what we want them to say to other people's to other people when we give them flowers. They don't object. And Jesus, the creator of all of the things we see and unseen, the lilies, the birds, everything that Jesus has created in nature, you and me, and Jesus says, these lilies, they do this, they serve without worry. That is their glory. The lilies have no purpose besides being beautiful. They have no useful utility about them. This last summer, all the beaches that my family and I went to, we got sunburned a little bit more on one occasion or another than we liked. And even a flower, even a plant as ugly as aloe vera has utility to soothe the pain of sunburn. But a lily? Lilies and wildflowers, they are glorious. But their greatest glory, their greater glory, is that they do not worry. They glorify God by being lilies. They don't toil, nor do they spin. They don't try to be on the greatest and most popular walkways of fashion in Paris or New York. They aren't constantly posting pictures of themselves on Instagram or Facebook. They're not self-promoters. They receive from God the sun and the rain, and they glorify Him by being a flower. Without complaint, nature stands as a witness. In addition to that, this text, the flowers, they encourage us too. They put to death all the false teachers or television preachers who tell you, just have more faith and God will bless you. Look at what Jesus says, that God even blesses those of little faith. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? Our God loves beauty. He loves beautiful things. He loves wildflowers like the lilies that Jesus speaks of today. Beautiful things are a testament to us in their beauty that there is a higher good that we just can't see with our eyes. What a relief this is for us as we look around and just see evil in our world, as we see our world degrade further and further into evil, when we see senseless violence. When was the last time you heard a politician or someone in power, when violence happens, a random act of violence or murder, and they say, let's pause and consider the lilies of the field? I don't think they'd have a job for very long. Even when we see our own sin, the violence we do by our own hands, our words or thoughts, or when you think you're the victim of senseless crime, when your job is threatened, family troubles and life sometimes seem hopeless, consider the lilies of the field. All the wildflowers around you. Not in a stop and smell the roses way, but Jesus says, look how faithful your heavenly Father is. In just these small wildflowers that we sometimes step on or we forget to water, He is faithful to them. He showers them with blessings. The glory of the lilies is that they live by grace. They must wait on the Lord. Psalm 104 says that from your lofty abode, God, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. The psalmist says the whole earth is satisfied with the work of God. And what do we sinners do? We always think of how much better things should be because we deserve it. What should we learn from the lilies, the birds, and even the fields of grass? The most glorious dress is to be dressed in faith, to grow upward toward heaven, to spread our roots and be strong in the Word of God, to live a beautiful life so that our neighbors and even our enemies will see our life as a glorious testament to our glorious God, to the beauty of God. To look at our life and to be encouraged that there is something beautiful. Now the temptation will be to swim in darkness. The devil is always trying to drag you back. To not encourage the beautiful things in life, but to encourage to immerse yourself in darkness. To look at dark things, to think dark thoughts. To be involved in just dark things. Jesus says, consider the lilies. Come into the light. Because from Him, from Jesus Christ, from a dead branch of our sinful fallen nature, there is a flower. There is the root of Jesse, the stem. We know that even in our weakness, Christ Jesus, even in our darkest moments, Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. That from the dead branch of our humanity, a bloom arises. As the old hymn, the Christmas hymn says, "Lo, how a rose e'er bloometh." God becomes man for you to consider Him. Not just to consider Him, but to be taught by Jesus what is the grace and the love of God? That your sins are forgiven. That He has chased your darkness away. Even though maybe you've trampled the beautiful things of God, maybe you've trampled each other, you've stepped on the things God has given you. Even though you've cut down others in your anger, even though you've considered sinful things more than the lilies of the field, Christ Jesus says, receive the water of my forgiveness. Be watered in my love and the sunshine of my mercy, and I will glorify you in my beauty. That the one who lived the most beautiful life of all, he lived that so that you may receive his glory by faith. To be watered in baptism regularly. To consider how God waters you by his grace. Even when you've done nothing, Christ Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit, He does all the work. Firmly planting you, putting fertilizer around your roots. The wildflowers out in the sidewalk, they're not even tended to, and they grow. They bloom. They are a testimony to the pure grace of God given to us. And yet, God does not become a flower. He becomes a man. A man to redeem mankind. To die on the cross for you. But from that cross, that trampled flower, that dead flower, from that death comes eternal life. And yet, Jesus, he points out the obvious. He says, learn from the lilies. And then he says, learn also how they die. He says they're cut down with the grass, just with anything else. They die what seems like a senseless death. Their beauty does not spare them when the harvest comes. That's in contrast to the beauty of Christ's death and resurrection, which will surely save you from the ugliness of death. So often, what we think is beautiful in this life, money, spare time, vacations, bigger barns to store our stuff, those beautiful things will not spare you from death, but the beauty of Christ will, and it does. So find true beauty in Christ. The only beauty that outshines the darkness of death in this world, the beauty that Christ promises shines brighter than the sun, the beauty of the lily. The beauty of the lily for us is that the flowers live by faith, that our sins are forgiven, that God gives you what is good, even when it doesn't seem that way. The Lord delights in the beauty of the lily that does what it's supposed to do, to live, to bloom, and then die. Even more, He delights in us when we repent and die and are reborn in the waters of baptism. And that promise He gave you, the Lord delights when the flowers and the grass receive the rains. So too our Lord delights when you receive the body and blood of His dear Son. This is true food, flower food. This is the life for the repentant Christian. Our Lord delights in those who receive Him by faith, not demanding He perform for us, but ask how we might repent again and again and receive the rain of His forgiveness each day, and then ask how we might too then lead a beautiful life, turning from our sin. Sometimes we do notice the lilies because, well, there's not much around. Other times we miss the lilies because there's so many flowers and we forget. But in a famine, in a drought, even now, you might see a wildflower standing strong, even in the driest of droughts in Texas. Native wildflowers seem to be able to spring up no matter the difficult places they find themselves. Seeing a rogue Mexican hat on a Texas highway in the middle of the hill country teaches us that God sustains even in the most unusual places, unexpected. Most notably among sinners, does Christ still give forgiveness and life even in the face of certain death? So what is the beauty of the lilies, finally, that they receive from God? Which means they live by faith and they beautify life. This is why then Jesus ends the reading about talking about faith. Because when He's talking about faith, He's talking about Himself. What do we place our faith in? What makes the lilies beautiful is what makes us sinners into beautiful saints. The work of God in Christ Jesus. And may that peace which surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.